Good morning. Welcome to Village Baptist Church. Nice seeing so many people I know and a couple people I don't. If you're a visitor, please, there are a couple ways you can reach out and let us get to know you. First, in the bulletin, there's a QR code that you can scan with your phone. You can fill out the form in the pew, or you could come see Pastor Caleb, which he's in the narthex right now, but you can do that after the service. Probably a better time to do that. We want to welcome those online, so great to have you here in spirit. Passing of the peace. It is time. We're going to get up and talk. Introduce yourself to someone new, or go talk to someone you haven't talked to in a while. And when you hear the music, come back and we'll have our announcement. We have quite a bit of announcement today. Let's see. Devotional guides and the quilt ornament. Each week there's Christmas ornament for you to take home. I believe Mark was passing them out with your bulletin. They're on the back table if you did not get one. There's a deacon's meeting tomorrow at 7 p.m. for the deacons. Mission commission today at 7 p.m. or Tuesday at 7 p.m. Church Council on Thursday at 7 p.m. Carol Sing next Sunday at 6 p.m. Bring a plate of cookies, always a good time. Children will be singing on Christmas Eve, so that's going to be open to all children. Please have them contribute. We look forward to hearing them sing.
It's away in the manger. They should all know.
Christmas Eve candlelight service is at 7 p.m. Watch night service, December 31st at 8 p.m. Update your information to stay in touch. So please update your contact for the church directory. How do we send that to?
It's in the back.
In the back, on the table. Christmas offering will support the long-term presence of the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship field personnel serving in the United States and around the world. And this is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
In the season of Advent, we await the first coming of our Lord, which we see in the birth of a child. After the birth of Jesus in the Gospel of Luke, we hear that Mary and Joseph bring their infant son Jesus to the temple to present him to the Lord God. This act signified their promise to live into their calling as parents and to raise their child in a godly home. Today, Darshana Bose has come to God's house with her son, Xavier Matthew Bose, to dedicate him to God and to dedicate herself and her friends and family to raising him in a Christian home. As we gather in worship today, friends, this is our opportunity to celebrate Xavier as a precious gift from God, to pray God's blessings upon his life, and to welcome him and his family and friends into our church family. But this is not only a dedication for Darshana and Xavier. It is also a dedication for us, Village Baptist, and signifies our commitment to be a place of support, comfort, and love for Xavier, his friends, and his family. Indeed, it takes a village to raise a child. And today marks that moment when we say we are that village and we will be the village you need. We are blessed to have family members and friends who have come today to join us for this time of dedication. In attendance today, we have Xavier's grandparents, Rohian, Beverly, and Marcia, as well as Sierra and Brendan, Xavier's godparents. I want to thank you all for worshiping with us this morning. Now, as we enter this time of commitment, I'd like to invite Darshana, Xavier, alongside Xavier's godparents, Sierra and Brendan, to come up here and to respond to a covenant. If you agree to this covenant for Xavier, Darshana, please say, "I do." Darshana, God has blessed you with the gift of this child. Do you now present him before God in this time of dedication? Do you promise independence upon God's grace and with the help of the church to teach him the gifts of the Christian faith and by prayer, word, and example to bring him up in the nurture, the love, and the instruction of Jesus and to uphold him as he learns to live and to embrace the mystery and the beauty of life? Sierra and Brendan, you have an important role as godparents. Do you promise to support and encourage Darshana in the care and the nurture of her child, to stand with her and by her as she raises her son with love and with faith?
We will.
Village Baptist, we as a congregation also have a responsibility in the Christian upbringing of this child. Would you please stand to affirm our role together? Village Baptist, do you promise to surround Xavier with God's love for the strengthening of our lives together, to be for him a family in Christ whose love for him cannot be broken, to accept Xavier into our loving care for shared responsibility in the growth toward fullness of life in Christ, and to tell him the good news of Christ so that he may know himself loved of God and to freely give himself in love to others? Do you promise to be the village that it takes to raise this child? If so, would you signify your acceptance of this part in his spiritual upbringing by saying, "We do"?
We do.
Congregation, you may be seated. Now at this time, I'd like for the children in the congregation to please stand. Children of Village Baptist, you will be the ones who are surrounding Xavier most often. Do you promise to be a friend to Xavier? Do you promise to play with him and to share with him the stories of Jesus? Do you promise to help teach him that he belongs in this church family and in the family of God? If you promise these things, I want you to yell, "We do," on the count of three, okay? One, two, three, "We do." Thank you, friends. You may be seated. Now, having heard these covenants and these sacred promises, I commend this child and his parents and his godparents to care, to guidance, and the protection of Almighty God. May the grace of our Lord be upon them and upon us all. Xavier Matthew Bose, I dedicate you to God. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and may all the days of your life be a blessing to him. In the eternal love of Christ our Lord, I pray. Amen. Would you all pray with me? Loving God, we thank you for this time of commitment as Darshana stands before you with Xavier to place in her home a spiritual foundation. We thank you for the gift of this child and for all the joy and blessing that he brings. We pray that you would guard, guide, protect, and bless him all the days of his life. We thank you for his parents, his godparents, his grandparents, and other family members, and for the love they have for him and for you. We pray that you would give them your wisdom, your compassion, your patience, your understanding, that they might help Xavier to grow toward you. And now, God, we dedicate this child, these parents, godparents, families, and ourselves, that our lives may be a blessing to you and a service to others. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, amen. Amen. In recognition of the dedication of your son, I present you this certificate of dedication and this children's Bible inscribed with his name. From its pages, may you instruct him in the ways of Jesus. Now, friends, let us all rise together in body or in spirit to sing our first song this morning as we introduce Matthew, Xavier Matthew Bowes, to his new village. Let us sing together. Y'all are good to go.
Thank you. Water Church family. Please join me in the responsive reading. In a weary and worn world, how do we begin again? Where do we start?
Let us begin together. Let us begin arm in arm. Let us begin by holding each other up instead of tearing each other down. Let us begin with words of peace.
Yes, let us begin with peace. Today we light the candles of hope and peace.
May these lights remind us of what could be. May these lights mark a new beginning. May peace flow like a river, and may it start with us.
Arm in arm, hand in hand, side by side, may we begin again. Amen.
Let us now raise our concerns to God and to one another in this time of prayer. Let us pray together. Relational God, there are certain truths we know about ourselves. We know that we will make mistakes. We know that we need you. We know that some days are beautiful and some days are terrible. And we know that we cannot go through life alone. Just like flowers need the sun, we humans need relationships. We need you. We need this community. So on this Sunday morning, we give you thanks for the connections we do have, God. Thank you for the friends who know us. Thank you for the families who claim us. Thank you for the church who welcomes us. Thank you for the neighbors who remember us. Thank you for the mentors who believed in us and for the saints who taught us. Like Naomi needed Ruth or Mary needed Joseph, we know that we cannot make the long journey to Bethlehem alone. So for all who walk alongside us, we give you thanks. However, at the same time, we also know that more than ever, we live in a lonely, lonely world. In this lonely world, we remember those who are suffering. Suffering exacerbates loneliness in indescribable ways, God. So today, we lift up Mary, Judy, Colby, Dooley, and Louise. We lift up colleagues. We lift up Joyce, sisters, brother-in-laws, sons, mothers, those spoken and unspoken, cousins. We lift up Virginia. We lift up co-workers, colleagues. We lift up Jace, Corrine, and Lamont. And we lift up Susan. We lift them up in thanks that we are their family, their friends, and their loved ones, but lift them up also realizing that your presence is what binds us together, that your spirit is what unites us. So let that spirit be felt and known in the lives of those who need it most, God, as we seek to address the effects of loneliness. Today, God, as we remember our human need for connection, we also lift up every person who has ever felt disconnected. We pray for anyone who has ever felt invisible in a crowded room. We pray for those who put their heart on their sleeve, extend the invite, and still find themselves eating alone. We pray for those who feel distance from their families by choice or by circumstance. We pray for those who doubt their worthiness, allowing narratives to get in the way of meaningful connection. God, we all long to have a Ruth in our lives. So for those of us still looking for people with loyalty like Ruth, draw near to us. Remind us that with you we are never truly alone. With you we are seen. We are loved. We are known. Where we go, you go. What greater love is there than that, God? It is in your Son Jesus' name and in his love that we pray. Amen.
Story, those young at heart. And if somebody wants to sit with Xavier down, is he gone? He left? Okay, he went out. Okay. Good morning. So we've been celebrating Advent as of last week. Welcome. Thanks for coming down. So Advent is about all the Sundays leading up to. Do any of you know? Christmas. Anybody knows what happens at Christmas, why we celebrate Christmas at all? Come on, Ruby, I know you know. You're being shy this morning. No. You're tired. I can understand. Okay. So Christmas, leading up to Christmas, we have these Sundays that are called Advent Sundays, and each one has a theme. And it's leading up to the birth of Christ. Last week we celebrated hope. This week we're celebrating peace, And then there's joy, and I forgot the other one off the top of my head. Love, thank you. So, when I was preparing for children's story, I was thinking about what does peace look like? What does peace look like? Does it sound like that, do you think? No? That sounds like peace, or does it sound like something's going on that's not so nice? Yeah, it probably sounds like something's going on that's not so nice. You know, a long time ago, there was a war going on. And the strangest thing happened. Now, I would imagine war sounds kind of like this at times. You know, lots of gunfire, bombs, loud noises, and you got people digging in trenches, people hiding behind bushes and houses or anything they can hide behind to shield themselves, because they know this doesn't mean something really nice. But during this war, the strangest thing happened, as I started to say. Somebody started singing. They could hear this really sweet sound. And the men in the military said, well, what is that? And for a few minutes, they heard the sound of a carol. And they decided to actually take a break. Believe it or not, they decided to have a truce, have peace for just one moment during this violence. And the men came out of their trenches. They were muddy, they were stinky, they were miserable, they were cold, because this happened around Christmas Eve. So it was cold, and it was in Europe. If you know where Germany might be, if you look on a map, guess Colin, I need my clicker. You can do my clicker, thank you. So Germany, you can't quite see it that well on that map. But what I pointed out up there, those arrows, those are areas where there's conflict going on. In Haiti, which is that, oh, sorry, depends on how you look at it. This one over here, I don't know if you know where it's. Thank you. That button. So see there, that's Haiti. They have a lot of violence going on there. They're in conflict. Here, this is the continent of Africa. And in Africa, you've got a war going on in Sudan. We all probably hear in the news about Israel and Gaza and the Palestinian. Well, I highlighted that. This is the country of Russia. And here's Ukraine, and you've probably heard about that conflict going on, right? Russia and Ukraine are having fights. Ethiopia, Myanmar, that's a long way from here. But these countries are having a conflict. They're fighting, they're at war. Wouldn't it be nice if they could go back and repeat what was done over 100 years ago? And just for one moment in time, there's peace. Unfortunately, the peace didn't last forever. But at least one moment in time, there was peace, there was quiet. And you could think, I'm actually fighting my brother, I wish I didn't have to. But left for now, we're going to pause and have peace. And as we get ready for the birth of Christ, we ought to think about having peace in our lives too. So, you know, enough of all of this and just quiet and calm. And think about the birth of Christ and what that means and why he came. And I know we all associated Christmas with gifts, right? You got some special gift you want at Christmas? A robot. Anything special you want to share? A what? Train. So I know we think about gift giving at Christmas time, but the reason we're having Christmas is because somebody's going to be born that will come to save our lives. So, you got a special gift you want to share real quick?
Yeah.
Yes.
A Lego train.
So Santa, if you're listening, these children have their wish list, and we certainly hope also at the top of that list is that world peace, all these areas of conflict, all these arrows will go away. It's just for a moment. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we continue the preparation and the celebration leading up to the birth of Christ, we just ask that you watch over these children, keep them safe, teach them what the birth of Christ really means, and that they enjoy it with their family and friends and all the gifts that they will receive. And may they also pray for peace in our world. Amen. So I think we're going to hear a special song, and then you can go back to children's story.
Well, good morning. Julie and I today are performing My Soul Magnifies the Lord, and it's our prayer for everyone that all of our souls will continue to magnify the Lord.
Of great joy for every woman, every man. This will be a sign for you, a baby born in Bethlehem. Come and worship, do not be afraid. The company of angels, glory in the highest, and on the earth a peace among those on whom His favor rests. Come and worship, do not be afraid. My soul, magnifies the Lord, my soul. Magnifies the Lord. He has done great things for me, great things for me. Unto you a child is born, unto us a son is given. Let every heart prepare its throne. Let every nation under heaven come and worship. Do not be afraid.
No, no,
my soul magnifies the Lord. My soul magnifies the Lord. He has done great things for me, great things for me. My soul, magnifies the Lord. My soul, magnifies the Lord. He has done great things for me, great things for me. Of His government there will be no end. He'll establish it with His righteousness, and He shall reign on David's throne, and His name shall be from this day on. Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, my soul, magnifies the Lord, my soul, magnifies the Lord. He has done great things for me, great things for me. My soul, magnifies the Lord, my soul, magnifies the Lord. He has done great things for me, great things for me.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for that song. It's beautiful. Today's Bible verse will be Ruth chapter 1, verses 1 to 9 and 16 to 22. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to live in the country of Moab, he and his wife and two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, and they were Ephrathite from Bethlehem in Judah. They went there in the country of Moab, and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. When they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she started to return with her daughters-in-law from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had considered his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she had been living, she and her two daughters-in-law. And they went on their way to go back to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find security, each of you, in the house of your husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud. But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you or turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There I will be buried. May the Lord do this and so to me, and more as well, even if death parts me from you." When Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they came to Bethlehem, the whole town stirred because of them. And the woman said, "Where is this Naomi?" And she said to them, "Call me no longer Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has dealt harshly with me, and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?" So Naomi returned together with Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, who came back with her from the country of Moab. They came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. May God bless this, his holy word.
Would you all pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God, Amen. In 2023, the U.S. Surgeon General, Dr. Vivek H. Murthy, released an advisory on the newest public health concern facing the United States. In my preparation for this sermon, I learned that advisories from the Surgeon General are, quote, reserved for significant public health challenges that require the nation's immediate awareness and action. Needless to say, the Surgeon General suggests we take this epidemic seriously. The advisory described a specific public health issue unlike anything we've ever seen before. To this day, this issue poses a significant risk for individual health and longevity. It increases the risk of premature death by more than 25% and has comparable effects to smoking 15 cigarettes per day. It is associated with a 29% increased risk of heart disease and a 32% increased risk of stroke. It brings countless other risks like anxiety, depression, and dementia. While it wreaks havoc on individual health, this public health issue becomes truly public when we examine its effects on communities. The Surgeon General states that if we fail to address this issue, quote, we will pay an ever-increasing price in the form of our individual and our collective health and well-being. We will continue to splinter and to divide until we can no longer stand as a community or a country. But perhaps what is scariest about this issue is that it isn't a new strand of a virus or a new strand of bacteria. In fact, it's nothing new at all. What is causing this public health crisis may have been one of the earliest human experiences we've ever felt. This experience doesn't cause visible symptoms as something like Ebola virus or COVID-19. You can't really take a test that will tell you whether you test positive or negative for this epidemic. If there were such a test, I'd guess that many of us here would test positive for it. Maybe this is what is most frightening, how pervasive it already is. I'll quit drawing this out and I'll tell you what this public health issue is. The epidemic that the Surgeon General warned us about in 2023 is an epidemic of loneliness. Loneliness. Well, there's so much to say about loneliness, there are very few ways to describe loneliness. Oftentimes, the best way to discuss loneliness is to hear people tell their stories about experiencing loneliness. The Loneliness Project, an online database of stories from people experiencing loneliness, does just that. It has compiled over 300 stories from people describing how loneliness feels and how it has affected their lives. One person describing his loneliness says this, quote, I spiraled into a deep depression my sophomore year of college. While I was in this depressive state, my family actually suffered a loss that we weren't expecting. During this time, even though I was a part of several social groups, one of which I lived with, I felt alone. It was inexplicable that I felt alone when I seemingly had many friends and a lot of family who cared for me and my well-being. But loneliness doesn't just go away if you're around people, he says. It's a lot deeper than that. It's like a chill that hits your bones. I spent hours upon hours laying in bed, wondering if anyone really cared that they weren't seeing me as much. A metaphor I think describes it well is the feeling after you turn back your clocks and you go into work or school before the sun comes up and leave after the sun has already gone down. You begin to wonder whether those 13 hours of sunshine that you saw in the summer months ever existed in the first place. You wait for the rays of connection to hit your face and your heart to convince yourself that you're doing fine. You wait for those warm moments of friendship and intimacy. You wait for the sun to peek out from behind the darkness, but it doesn't come. In today's scripture passage, we learn of a woman named Naomi who has just suffered the loss of her husband and her two sons. I think we could safely say that Naomi was feeling lonely in the wake of her losses. She felt lonely even though she was surrounded by two people who loved her dearly. Loneliness can coincide with grief, as we see in our story, and what we see is how loneliness can actually multiply upon itself. Despite her loneliness, Naomi says, "Both of you go home. I hope God treats you better than God has treated me." Here Naomi says, "Even though I am lonely, I want to be alone." Naomi pushes the ones closest to her away. She pushes away the only people in her life at this current moment. Loneliness and sorrow and grief can make us shrink into ourselves. Loneliness can convince us that solitude is safer than the vulnerability of connection. This weight of loneliness makes you exacerbate your own loneliness because of the lies that say you don't matter. The lies that say you are forgotten. These lies become all that we can hear, so much so that our loneliness grows and grows and grows until we are enveloped by it. If it were up to what was normal in ancient times, things would have stayed exactly this way for Naomi. When Naomi dismissed Ruth and Orpah to go to their mother's houses, it wasn't like she was doing something rude or out of the ordinary. In fact, this is what was expected at that time. She was doing what was normal and trying to send them home. We can think of a few modern examples of this, can't we? When someone is experiencing loneliness, they may say, "Oh, I don't want to be a burden. There's no reason for you to stop by. Don't worry about it." Or, "You're busy. Don't feel like you have to do this." These are normal things to say, of course. These are even considered nice and cordial, but they don't benefit anyone. They definitely don't benefit the person who is experiencing loneliness. The only thing acting normally does is keep everything the same. When we listen to someone's "don't worry about it," that person remains lonely. That person remains unhelped, and we remain unhelpful. And maybe this is why we're facing a loneliness epidemic today. Maybe it's because the general public is acting normally. We're all acting in the same ways that got us here in the first place. We see, for a viral outbreak like COVID-19, we shift our lives, don't we? We wear masks, we social distance. But with an invisible epidemic like loneliness, we continue on acting like everything is just normal. So maybe in our normalcy, we're all acting in ways that support and grow loneliness rather than defeat loneliness. Maybe we like to obey these pleasantries that keep people where they are because it's easier, because it's just the status quo. Just like Orpah in our society today, we're told that when Naomi tells you to go home, you go home. But going home is not what we see today, is it? Instead, we see in Ruth what it means to fight against this epidemic of loneliness. We see what it means to foster deep connections and what it means to share our messy and complicated lives with one another. We see what it means to be a friend and a loved one when Ruth says the precursor to the good news this morning. I know you heard it. "Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There I will be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me, and more as well, if even death parts me from you." Here Ruth says, "The power of loneliness and death cannot keep me from supporting you like I should. The forces of grief and isolation cannot keep me from loving you as you deserve to be loved. See, what Ruth does here is countercultural. When the world says to leave Naomi, Ruth says, I will not. When the world says to go home, Ruth says, you are my home, Naomi. When the world says Naomi cannot be helped, Ruth says, I'm going to try until I die. Here, Ruth becomes the grace of God for Naomi and tells her, we can't go alone, so I'm going to go with you. I have a confession to make. The account of loneliness I read to you from earlier isn't from an anonymous online submission. It's from me. Those words are mine. Every year around Christmas time, I'm reminded by the deep state of loneliness I once found myself in. I'm reminded of what made me feel lonely. I'm reminded of my grandfather's suicide, and I'm reminded about how that loneliness felt. Just so we're clear, I'm not telling you this to suggest that finding God cured me or anything like that. But what I am telling you is that I was blessed to have a Ruth in my life when I was at my lowest. My parents would make frequent visits while I was in college. As I fell into this state of loneliness and depression, my mom began to notice and started nudging me toward trying to find professional help. In my mind, she had enough to worry about. Her dad, my grandfather, had been displaying signs of severe mental illness for months. Like Naomi, I didn't want to cause a fuss, and I wanted to be considerate. I'm fine, Mom. Doing okay. She nudged, and she nudged, and she nudged, until finally she had seen her son on the edge of darkness for too long. Then, in only the way a mother can, she snatched me up and said, I'm getting you the help you need, Caleb. Like Ruth, she bore my humanity with me. She placed my depression and my grief and my loneliness and my doubts on her back, and she said, where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. What became so clear to me when I looked back was the way that my mom needed me just as much as I needed her. And this is what spurs us to fight loneliness today. This beautiful picture of mutuality that ties us together in love and for care for one another. I'm on the other side of loneliness because a Ruth in my life took me to get the help that I needed to get on the path toward healing and resurrection. And today, friends, what I want to say to you, it's because of the Ruth in my life that I believe in a God who does the same thing. This story of Ruth and Naomi and my own story shows us that we can't go alone. But the good news is that these stories also show us what God is like. Yes, we can't go alone, but the good news is God knows that we can't go alone. So God is as forceful as Ruth is in saying, I'm going to help you, and I'm literally going to die trying. Here's my son. He will teach you the way to live your life. He will die to overcome sin and death. He will give you the spirit that founds the church you sit in today, that gives you the community you need. God does all of this because God knows we can't go alone. So God decided to take on flesh, be with us himself, and say, where you go, I will go. Advent testifies to a God who has clung on to us and will never let go, a God who is with us, Emmanuel. While every other God sits up in their heavenly courts, our God comes down and bears the burden of humanity with us. Our God takes on flesh to be with us. Our God says, where you go, I will go. But it doesn't stop there. What God did and what God does empowers us to defy normality and to be there for the people who need us most. It's because of God's Ruth-like action that we can be Ruths too. Advent testifies to a life-changing truth, friends, a truth that calls us to defeat loneliness once and for all. Yes, Ruth is like God, and God is like Ruth. And because of the grace of God, we cannot sit back and let this epidemic overtake the United States. Because of Advent, we too can become the grace of God, just like Ruth is, to fight this epidemic of loneliness. But I would be remiss not to mention that this act of love by Ruth appears to leave Naomi still very much in grief. After Ruth embodies the grace of God for Naomi, Naomi still requests to be called Mara, which means bitter, because in her words, God has dealt bitterly with her. Naomi still remains in her grief, even though she has a Ruth in her life. But hear me when I say this. If those experiencing loneliness need additional help, that doesn't mean God's grace has disappeared. That doesn't mean that our mission is a failure. It just means that we need to go further. It means that we need to get them the help that they need. The truth is that the fight against loneliness is a fight that lasts a lifetime. But in this lifetime, God knows we can't go alone. So our God has made it to where we can see God's grace in one another. We can see God's grace when we gather as Village Baptist Church. We can see God's grace when we say to someone, "Where you go, I will go." We can see God's grace when mothers get us the help that we need. We can see God's grace in the little pills we take every morning to get better. We can see God's grace when we become the community that looks people in the eyes and says, "You belong here." We can see God's grace when we choose to sacrificially love others just like Ruth. No, we can't go alone, but the good news is that we see God's grace everywhere because God is like Ruth. The good news is that God has transformed us to become Ruths. And the good news is that when we become Ruths, we fight this epidemic of loneliness by being the grace of God for those who need it most. So today, Village Baptist, know that we can't go alone. And know that in this fight against the epidemic of loneliness, even though we can't all be the Surgeon General, we can't all be psychiatrists, we can't all be therapists, we can all be Ruths. And when we are Ruths for the people who need it, we live into our calling to be God's grace everywhere. So go and be a Ruth. The world needs it. May it be so. Amen. During our last hymn, we opened this space as a space of reflection for us all, wherever we are, to reflect on what God is calling us to do in this next step in our lives. So I invite you to please rise in body or in spirit for our last hymn together we're singing today. Thank you. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And as you go forth to go be Ruths for those who need it most, may you know that nothing can separate you from the love of God through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So great, but yeah.